is the abbreviated version. It's fine. We celebrate meaning today, in particular. The Nothing Box, I like that. Very good. My good friend Stu Collette, married to Ruth, has very wonderful children. Stu has been here before, probably doesn't need an introduction, but we'll do it anyway, in case you missed. Stu and Ruth head up an organisation called Circuit International, and working principally in Myanmar, across from Thailand. So, as a church, we've chosen to support the work that they do, and I think it has particular relevance to us as an ag community. And Stu's going to give you the details of what that happens. So, come on up, Stu, thanks. I'd like to pray for this man before we start. Get out of the Nothing Box. How can you pray with this? Lord, I thank you for this man. I thank you for his entrepreneurship. I thank you, Lord, that there's more than nothing in the box that's called entrepreneurship for him. And a burning passion to see the people of Myanmar come to faith in Jesus. And Lord, thank you for him. Thank you for his wife Ruth, for his children, for his family, for those that work with him in this organization. Lord, he is a gift to the body of Christ. And so we ask for your blessing on him together. Amen. Thank you, Stuart.
Got to build it up to that prayer, don't you?
Go for it.
All right. Now, before I start, a couple of things. There are many of you, or some of you, who may not know anything about us. And I think you. And so I'm just going to pass this around. There's a little brochure in there if you want to find out about what we do, and a contact card at the top. So if you just want to pass that around, if you've already got information, don't worry about it. Then on here is a very fancy sign-up sheet. Oh, my iPad's broken. It still works. So you just put your name and your email address and your phone number in there if you want to be on our mail-up list. So I'll pass it along from the front. And we're not only about Myanmar, you know, we're very passionate about Jesus reaching everybody. And what's... Aha! I knew that would happen.
I put my finger on the wrong thing.
That's
all
right.
No,
if you happen to get lost, it's the little one there called Sinai. Okay?
Sinai.
Normally it has a lock on it, but the little lock button stopped working. So, and I hope that what I share with you today might help you see the relevance of what we're doing in a far-flung country to New Zealand. And in fact, to any country. Because I think that the way the world works is changing very quickly. The connectivity that we have through the internet has changed how we relate to each other. I think places where communities meet are fast dissolving because we're together alone on the internet. We have to find ways to interact with each other. And the coming together in a church setting is actually pretty strange for most people. In all countries of the world, actually. Even in Thailand, where we lived for 15 years, we found that the culture changed dramatically between the year 2000 and the year 2016. And we had a very community-oriented culture in 2000, and by the time we left in 2016, we had people building houses with picket white fences. And, you know, places where we have met traditionally are falling apart. You know, you go down to a local pub and they're empty. And those are places where people have got together and talked and cried and laughed and got in trouble and whatever over the years. Not necessarily good places, but they're places of community. And those things are fast going out of fashion. Now, the problem is, how do you engage, meant to be kids' program? No?
About taking care of things.
Okay, thanks. We have to realise that we've got to find ways to engage people. We've got to find ways to engage our communities. Now, for us, we've developed this organisation for reaching Myanmar called Circuit. And the idea is connection. It's a circuit, it's two halves of the circuit and you're connecting. So we've got New Zealand and Myanmar, we've got New Zealand and wherever else connecting. And we do that through business. Why business? Because business is never going to go out of fashion. We have to do business to survive in the world. Paul realised it. Paul realised that if he wanted to be engaged in the community, he needed to be engaged in business. So he would go down to the markets and he built tents, sewed tents. And I dare say a lot of his discussion and daily interaction with people was centred around that job that he did. Because the problem is, we just can't do nothing. I'd like you to bring up the first slide, please, Joe. This message is called "A Man Can't Just Sit Around." Next slide, please. On 2nd of July 1982, Larry Walters tied 45 helium-filled weather balloons to his lawn chair. He had ballast in the form of water containers, grabbed a beer, a pellet gun, sandwiches and a camera, and had his friends cut the rope holding the aircraft to his truck. It took off and went to 16,000 feet, and he was seen by airline pilots over LAX airport in restricted airspace. True story. Next slide. Pilot aloft in lawn chair. This is Larry Walters. Next slide. A man can't just sit around. You see, Larry was later arrested and asked why he did it. He said, "A man can't just sit around. It was something I had to do. I had this dream for 20 years and I hadn't done it. I think if I hadn't done it, I would have ended up in the funny farm." And he got famous, and he even was marketing Timex watches for a while. How's that? A man can't just sit around. You know, they prosecuted him, and later they found out that he couldn't be fined because they couldn't define what kind of aircraft he was in. Next slide, please. And again. Do you feel like you're sitting around in life? Next slide. Have you had dreams of doing something significant and life-changing? Next. Do you feel like you live just an adequate life? Next, please. Do you have God-sized goals that you could never attain by yourself? Next. Have you ever cut the rope and taken a risk to allow God to take control and potentially send your life in a completely new direction? Next, please. At Circuit International, we know what it is to cut the rope and fly, and it is amazing fun. And I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on what's been happening for us over the last year and a half. But next, please. We had a crazy idea almost 2 years ago. that we would try and start businesses in some of the most remote and inaccessible areas of Myanmar, to start self-sustaining projects in some of the neediest parts of the world. To do that meant going against the grain. I cannot tell you how many people told us that we were nuts with this idea. They said, you're not going to get support. People won't buy into it. It makes no sense to people. We were saying, we actually want to start real businesses. We don't want to start a platform. We don't want to just start something that we can trick people into coming into our church service. We want to actually start businesses, real businesses, for Jesus. Today, we have two dairy farms. We've got a soap-making project supporting a school. We have an advocacy project with some of the most famous musicians in Myanmar for special needs children. We have seed banks, which you guys have contributed to, assisting more than 300 farms, increasing each farmer's income by 10 times. We've got a buffalo farm for supporting local schools. We've got the beginnings of coffee plantations replacing opium, up to 50,000 acres of opium. And we've got a project that we just started based around sewing clothes that support kids in high school in Myanmar. That's just a new one just started this week. With this, we have the potential to change an entire economy. So Myanmar itself is 56 million people. But the little area that we work in is 8 million people. It's not that little really, is it? That's nearly twice the size of New Zealand. But right smack in the middle is the church in this project. Here's how it worked. One Sunday in Shan State, my colleague said, Stu, you've got to go to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. I really don't want to go to church. I've been working flat out all week. We'd had a bad case of diarrhea, as you get in Asia. And I really didn't feel like going, but we went anyway. We turned up. The pastor said, oh, good, you can preach. I should have been warned. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give a little bit of a testimony. Is that enough? Yes, that's enough. So I got up and they were singing songs from the 1700s. Songs about, I can't understand the English, it's so old. But imagine it being translated into Shan language. And there were about probably 20 people in the church. And almost every one of them had grey hair, except for maybe three or four in the back left-hand corner. And I said, I got up and I said, I know you want me to be encouraging, but I've got some bad news for you. I've got to tell you the truth. I said, in 10 years' time, your church is going to be dead. You could have heard a pin drop. And I said, we're trying a new approach to mission. And I explained what we were doing, how we were doing business, how we were connecting. And I said, if you want to join us, we'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing. Because we open the doors so that you guys can get in and share your faith. And from that started a relationship with the church. The pastor said, Stu's got something to say. I believe we need to listen to it. He then repeated my message as his sermon. And ever since then, we've had this developing relationship with the Shan Baptist Church in Tongji. And at the centre of it are two of their key guys, two of the young people who are in the back left-hand corner. And they're evangelists. And they're the ones who've just opened up this big program replacing opium. You know, Myanmar is the second biggest producer of opium or heroin in the world after Afghanistan. If you were to find heroin on the streets of New Zealand, guess where it would have come from? And the church the tiny, fledgling little church in Shan State, Myanmar, is at the centre of helping us challenge that. And it's changing things on the streets of New Zealand. They're pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, next slide. So, this is how we do it. You see, we're based in Wellington, so we can connect with people. And all day, every day, I'm on my phone, alone together, connecting with this team. Second from the left is Tunzar. He's a guy I discipled. He was a methamphetamine user shortly before I first met him. Then I discipled him. Then he became a pastor in Bangkok, reaching out to some of the migrant community there. Then he had a terrible motorcycle accident and nearly died. His head was literally square from here to here. That left-hand side of his head is actually steel. The funny thing is, you know how brains are pretty sensitive things? He was always a bit kind of out there. And the brain injury, strangely, we all joke about it, so I can say this. The brain injury actually settled him down. And what we have is this incredible networker who just seems to be able to connect with people of any shape, size, persuasion, and bring them into the team. You know, this little group has 70 volunteers from all over Myanmar who work with this organisation that we started only a year and a half ago. It's called the Love Conquers All Foundation. We needed somebody who really had smarts to help get the thing going. And then the guy smack in the middle, his name is Dr. Bobo. He's not a Christian. We said to him, we're a Christian organisation, but we need somebody with your smarts to help us run things. He said, I'll be the chairman. He's running a Christian organisation and he's not a Christian. Isn't that weird? Then we've got a Baptist girl who's a teacher on the right there. We've got some other folks. And these guys all have the same vision as us. It's strange. And what we're finding is that this is becoming a very, very effective organisation in the country. The guy third from the left is Graham Taylor. He's the chairman of our New Zealand board. So we brought him over there to do training of this board. And next slide. This is them. How many... So we arrived there and they had no strategic plan because up until the formation of this board, Tunzar's been doing everything on his own. He's the guy who had the head injury. And we formed the board and we said, okay, we need you guys to start working on a strategic plan. Half a day. They built a strategic plan for the organisation in half a day for the whole country. What? This doesn't happen. The sense of unity is incredible. Next, please. That's the strategic plan that they began to work out. We've got it all. They worked out the budget, everything, half a day. Boy, we churches could learn a few things from that, couldn't we? Next, please. This is the kind of relationship that we've got developing. And it's all based around the idea that love conquers all. You bring Jesus into the centre of something, relationships change. Now, the Shan people, guess who their primary enemy is? The Burmese people. Dr. Bobo, he's Burman, not Shan. And we have a Burman guy working with Christians to change the unjust situation for the enemies. It's awesome, eh? It really is awesome. Next slide. Now, on the last day of this training, we went out and some people from the first Seed Bank project came to join us. They travelled down from their place in the north. And one, two, three, the third lady from the front and the lady behind her with the phone taking a photo. We went out on the famous Inlay Lake. This is the lake where they paddle with their feet. Have you ever seen the pictures of that? They stand on the back of the boat and they paddle with their feet, and they're doing this, and they're throwing their fishing nets in. Pretty incredible to watch. It's a famous place. These guys live 3 hours from this lake their entire life and had never been there. So we paid for them all, for us all to go out on a couple of boats for the day. Those two ladies are data collectors for the seed bank. They go around and they collect all the information that makes sure that we know that the seed banks are working exactly as we intended them to. Both of those ladies said we would have been trafficked this year if it wasn't for this project. They would have been trafficked, no question. Next slide. Human faces. Real people. So I know you guys know Ken Fleck, right? Ken's a very good friend. And Ken's been working with people with HIV and in the sex industry in Thailand for a long time. This is where they come from. They all get ferried down from this very, very poor place called Shan State, and they end up in Thailand. And these are two of our lovely ladies. And today they're still with their community, and they're helping us reach other communities because of that project that you guys have invested in. Next slide. This is the two village headmen. I always laugh when I see this photo because two of them are holding smartphones. They're the poorest of the poor, but they've got smartphones. And that's actually the world that we live in, because everybody's got a smartphone. And that's how we communicate. But this guy is the village headman. And when I first met him, he said, "We're going to lose our whole village." And he was like this. Look at the way he's standing now. And the guy next to him is his assistant. And then these two lovely ladies. And today, because of the injection of Jesus into a community, a Buddhist community, they can stand tall. And today I can share whatever I like with that community. We can share whatever we like with that community. I'm very sensitive about it. I'm not going to take advantage of it. I'm not going to smack their heads against the wall with a Bible. But I'm going to introduce Jesus slowly and surely into that community. And this can happen in New Zealand too. Next slide. That's your corn. Hey? That's money that you put into the system that has allowed us to plant farms out for poor farmers who would otherwise have lost everything this year. So we raised enough money for 100 farms. And then the guy who we're working with said, "This is a great idea, I want to do it. I want to triple it." So he added twice as much money personally as we did as an organisation. And today that project is going to start benefiting 300 farms. Next slide. That's him. That's Sainon. He's a psychology graduate who runs a corn mill. And he's been through a number of real difficulties in his life. He went bankrupt for a while because he got ripped off by some Chinese businessman, and then he's brought himself back up to wealth again, and he's the one who basically runs this project for us over there. Again, not a Christian. When Graham, the chairman, asked him, "Why would you want to work with us foreigners who are Christians to do this?" he said, "Your vision and my vision is the same." And this guy is open to Jesus as well. And so as a result, we have access now to a whole community. And from there, it's reaching out into different government organisations and army organisations. There are 18 different armed ethnic groups in Myanmar. And we're starting to develop relationships with these armed militia. You know the Wa people? The Wa people are the biggest producers of meth, pee. And a lot of the pee that comes to New Zealand from offshore comes from that particular region. And in the last few years, the daughter of the head of Wa State's come to faith. Now that's not actually, that's got nothing to do with our work specifically. That's another group of missionaries that we're friendly with, who we are then now going to be engaging with another project. So next slide. Oh, I've got to show you this picture. All elders of the Gumpong Baptist Church. And I think I may have mentioned it to you last time. But every girl over the age of 16 in that community has been trafficked out. Christian community. Guess what? We started a seed bank with them this year. And Graham and I said to them, no more. This is going to happen no more in your community. And this is straight after the discussion, and we had all been standing around praying together. No more. So there is hope. Next slide. You see, a man can't just sit around. If you've got nothing to do, you'll just end up attaching balloons to your lawn chair. Or you can do something for Jesus. Next. So, remember I said those two young evangelists, they're actually brothers, and one of them is one of Shan State's wealthiest men, strangely. You see, in that part of the world you have extreme poverty and you have lots of wealth at the same time. And this guy heard me preach that message that I shared at church, and afterwards he came and found us at a hotel and he said, I'm actually really, really wealthy. And he said, I want to work with you guys. I want to make my resources available to you. So he's a trucking company. He's got agriculture, he's got a few other bits and pieces. Today he's storing our equipment for our silo bag project. And this next year he plans to help us store the grain for 15,000 tonnes. That's... close to three, maybe 4,000 farms that we're likely to be helping through that one guy. Well, he introduced us to this chap. That is Jau Lau. Jau Lau, for the last 30 years, has been in a ceasefire with the Myanmar government. The Myanmar government said, you don't fight us, we'll let you do what you want to do. So guess what they did? They planted opium. Because opium's an easy crop. And for the last 30 years, Jau Lau has been a drug lord. Today he's my friend. He found out about what we're doing through our other friends and he said, could you please come and help us? I banned opium in this community 2 years ago. But we've failed in our business enterprises and we're desperate and people are wanting to plant opium again. We want to plant coffee. Can you help us? And so today, for the most of the last few months, I've been learning like crazy about the coffee trade. And we've been working with some missionary friends in southern China who are producing some of the best specialty coffee in the world, and they're going to become consultants for us. It's going to be a business, we're paying them. We're starting a feasibility study in March of next year. But it looks very much like we're going to be able to do to be engaged smack in the middle of the drug trade, turning things around through business. There's only one crazy idea floating a few balloons, guys, a year and a half ago. And because business is unlimited in what it can do, and business has this habit of growing organically where there are opportunities, it just grows naturally. So I've been talking to a guy in the last couple of weeks who wants me to meet him when I go to Yangon in November, from the Rockefeller Foundation in the States. I'm going to ask him for lots of money. Just love that picture. Next slide. So to get out to Jaldar's place, this is how we go. This is a converted Hilux. They call it a Vigo over there. But it's all been pimped out to look like an army thing. And you have two guys on the top with guns and all the LED lights running along the top. We're cruising down the road at as fast as you can go. Get to the checkpoints. And usually you have to stop at checkpoints and be checked. Not these guys. Straight through the checkpoints. We get out to this area. It's called Special Area 7, where we're going to be doing this opium replacement. Next slide. We woke up the next morning and I found out we'd been sleeping with a bodyguard next to us the whole night. And this was my bodyguard. I've been sleeping under a mosquito net, having a good old snore. And this guy's job is to protect me. I had no idea. Next slide. You see, a man can't just sit around. Next slide. The Bishop of Wellington, have you guys heard of this guy, Justin Duckworth? He's actually used to be a kind of a hanger-on at Upper Hutt Baptist Church. He's a bit of a radical and he's stirring things up in the Anglican Church in Wellington. He asked this question: since when was the church called to be relevant? Next slide. Instead of aiming to be relevant, we were told by Jesus that we would be out of step with the people around us. We would march to a different beat. What is that different beat? Next slide. No? We got jammed? Uh-oh. In trouble. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. No, we've got problems, Joe? Try again. Okay, well, this is where I was going with it. Or maybe I didn't put the transition in. Maybe that's my fault. I don't know. This is the different beat that Jesus was talking about. You see, the world's emphasis is on power, on control, on making sure people do things right. But Jesus says, no, a new command I give to you is to love one another. And you know, if you take any time to look very deeply into the ultimate thing that the gospel is all about, it is about showing that God is not a God of anger, but a God of love. Not a God who requires death, but who gives himself. Next slide. And again. Sometimes our lack of love for one another ensures that we end up looking very similar to our neighbours. And sometimes our lack of love for others as well. You know, the whole thing about doing business is just that it allows us to connect with people where they're at. It just allows us to connect. We're not going to get people coming into churches. I could say the same thing in many churches around New Zealand as I did in that Sharon Baptist Church. 10 years, we're gone. Because that's about how the population's aged. But what are we going to do about seeing Jesus come again in this nation? Well, I suggest here that there is a very simple approach. Get involved in business. You guys, you are smart. If you can run a farm and stay alive these days, you are smart. You're business people. You are creative. You're number 8 wire people. When things go wrong, you know how to fix it. When there's a hole in the fence, you know exactly what to do. When the river overflows or the creek breaks, you know what to do. You're creative people. And I love the prayer. I think it was Bruce was praying it before church. He was praying about the creativity of God. That's what you guys have got going for you right here. Next slide. You see, a man or a woman can't just sit around. We must use all the means we have to use everything we have available to love the people around us. Next slide. For us, this means engaging. For us, when I say us, I talk about circuit. This means engaging in the business world and the place where people operate every day. That us is also you. It's us here. You know, we have this habit of saying, that's work and this is Christian life. But actually, it's time to say it's all together. And what you do on a day-to-day basis is about reaching your community. And I think you can be creative. I'm not going to give you my ideas, but I'm an analyst of culture. And the little bit of time I've had to wander around this area, I think there are some incredible opportunities for you. I think farmers are some of the loneliest people in the world. They're also some of the most open because they're out there in nature where God's speaking to them. See, I grew up on a farm, I know. God was speaking to me for years. Calling, until I was finally in a situation where I could hear and understand what he was saying. And I remember sitting out there in the rushes, on the hillsides, wondering what life was all about. It wasn't all about docking.
Island.
Next slide. Nope. Sorry, go back one, please. So what does this mean for you and for your community? I mean, I'd like to say thank you for the way that you guys have kind of gotten behind our vision. And I think you can see it's growing. We've been blown away. We had a massive month last month, fundraising. We had our annual fundraiser in July. Before last now, isn't it? And we had a massive month. Just people really getting in behind and understanding the idea of business and development, business and mission. And I would like to say that I think that can be a way you could think about the future of your church and your community. And I just look at the lights going on in people's eyes here as I'm speaking. And I know that God wants to use this church. Next slide. You see, perception is reality. If people see us as holed up in here and waiting for them to come, they'll never come. They'll say, that's the cold place that takes an hour to heat up in the morning. Or they'll say, that's the people who are separate from us. That's the people who are different from us. Next one, please. You see, people don't know people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And people are suffering under all sorts of mortgage weights and difficulties. And the business ideas that you guys have in your heads are put there by God. And they can be used to change this community and to see people start coming back to faith again. And we're starting to see that in Shan State. You know, we've started to hear of some of the leaders of the Shan State Army not coming to faith, they're considering coming to Jesus, is how it was put to us. And I've had that confirmed as well. That's actually quite a big statement, just to say they're considering that. But one of the guys who I'm the closest to actually said to me, God's been looking after me. It was just after he told me a few years ago, a mortar landed right next to him and didn't explode. He said, I think if there's a God, he was looking after me.
Next.
So this is how we are changing our part of the world in the current climate, but it's also how we can change the world in this current climate. And I know you guys have been through a lot in the last few years, but you have what it takes to make a real difference in this community. You have what it takes to change this world around you. You know, I met a guy last night who was the consul to Thailand. He's the ambassador to Thailand. Did you know he lives in this community? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went down to Waikakapa and I started asking questions. And it's amazing what you find out down in a place like that. And that guy has some stories to tell, I tell you. I was telling about the time that I was offered to buy uranium. Someone tried to sell me uranium and lizard's tails. Was another thing that I was offered to buy. Anyway, that was quite a gig. Yeah. This is the way that we change the world in the current climate, because people aren't going to come into the church. They're not. That time is long, long gone. It's time for us to get out there amongst them and use the creativity that God's put into us. Next slide. What will be your lawn chair? That's my question for you today. Thank you for helping put helium in our balloons. And I hope that today I maybe have given you a few balloons to put helium of your own in, to think about it. It's not my job to tell you what to do, but it's my job, I believe, to encourage you and say, you go for it. You dream. Don't worry about the past, what's gone on. Don't worry about what could be. Just do it. Because you know what? If you don't stick those balloons on that lawn chair, you're going to end up in the funny farm. I think that's the last slide. Is there anything else? Oh! Put the knife in a bit more. Yeah. How will you cut your rope? Because I'm sure that just before flew up into 16,000 feet, he was feeling pretty freaked out. In fact, I think if you read the article, the news article, you can find it online. His wife was the one who was freaking out. Oh, he took. Do you know how he was going to get down?
Yeah,
the BB gun. He was going to shoot holes in the balloon. Okay, I think that's the last one. Oh yeah, that's just our little advertising promo. So if you need any more information, if you want to sign up and the thing didn't work properly, please come and see me afterwards. It's an absolute privilege being with you, and it's kind of strange because, you know, we didn't really know you before, but walking in today was kind of like walking back into a family community. So you're starting to know who I am, and I'm recognising your faces, and it's marvellous to be here. Over to you, my brother.
Thank you, Sue. Just sitting, listening and talking over things last night with Stu, I just can't help but feel that today has been prophetic. May not fully grasp what all that might mean yet, but I sense that it is. I'd like to close the service with this benediction. Go and find a lawn chair. Bless you as you go.